Good morning, marketers, and welcome to the If You Market podcast, the only podcast that markets the shit out of it. We are brought to you by Mountaintop Data and Johto PR, and I'm your host, Sky Cassidy. Carla Jo Helms has the day off today, and we'll be speaking with Francisco Serrano of 121 about marketing to the now generation. Francisco is a skilled branding specialist with over 20 years of experience in mid to large size organizations. He's worked in corporate and product development, brand strategy and brand architecture, packaging and POS design, as well as in video and web development. Prior to starting 121, Francisco worked as the director of client services at Al-Zarraqi. That's a mouthful. At Al-Zarraqi, one of the leading advertising agencies in Mexico. He's also served in leadership roles at CNA, a European retail store conglomerate, where he headed communications management and new product development. He's been a key player in many international brand implementations, such as McCormick, Bayer, Heineken, Cadbury, OxyClean, Ferrero Rocher, and Hershey's. Francisco, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sky. So happy to be here to share whatever I can with your audience.
Yeah, this is an exciting topic for me, a little different than our kind of standard marketing techniques and whatnot. Marketing to this now generation, would you say this is the millennials specifically, or are we talking about a larger group of millennial and peripheral people?
Well, I can tell you that this movement of the now generation has been ignited by the digital media, so social media, e-commerce, and everything that has to do with the technology and devices has prompted this now generation. That it's affected not only the Gen X's that I am in, but also baby boomers, Gen Y's, and Gen Z's. It's all over the place because
they're kind of the joker of generations in that. The generations before them created them. We can bad talk about them, but it's really our activities and the activities of everybody before them that created them. So can't say too much bad about how they behave and how they interact. All right. Before we get into this now generation and what that means and how to market to them and how all that works, can we talk a little bit more about you, how you got to where you're at? I mentioned some of it in the intro here. You know, you've been with several large international firms working on campaigns and whatnot, and now you have your own company, 121. Can you give us a little bit of your path on, I guess, how you got into marketing in the first place?
Yes. Well, my degree is in business administration and finance. It's weird, but it is. But it was a natural fit for me, everything regarding marketing. So I started the path in marketing just because I love sales, and marketing and sales, they're always closely related. So that was my initial motivation to participate in this field. Then I started working on roles, and I just had fun doing it. So after a while, I decided to found or to create this agency because I saw that there was a flaw, there was a gap in the market that a lot of companies, they were this advertising agencies or branding agencies that were servicing clients and focusing on creativity or digital, but there were very few based on customer service. So I decided that I wanted to go ahead and do it. And I founded 121, which is the basis or the discovery and the reason why me and two partners founded 121 was to be the backbone of the daily needs of several companies that needed, you know, graphic design or digital design, whatever.
I'm a little embarrassed here, Francisco, because I introduced your company as 121, and I didn't, until you said 121, I did not get the
the one-two-one
thing.
No, you know what? It typically happens because for international markets, English speaking markets, it's a natural approach to say 121. And but you did say 121. So
great. Yeah. It was totally by accident. I was thinking.
No, no worries. It's a great conversation started with the clients.
That's really good timing for you. I mean, to say companies weren't focusing on customer service and on their customers. It's true. It seems weird nowadays, but there was a period of time when there was a lot, so many other focuses, and serving the customer, taking care of the customer should have always been the focus of all companies, but it seems like we got distracted with a whole bunch of other things that came along, and that got shoved aside for a long time. So I see the 1-to-1 name of, person to person type of marketing. And then also in the background there, we can see the all about speed. So it seems like today's topic for you is really what your company is all about.
Correct. Yes. When I said customer service, I mean that for my clients, so the type of clients that we as an agency service, which is another business, we don't go direct to consumer, go to business to business. So for them, the fast response, it's key to perform their daily activities, not only because they go to market with a lot of their products and services that they offer, but also because the internal corporations move at a different speed right now. So they are not willing to have now a vendor that is not, even though it's very high end creative, that it's slow. Now it's not an option for them, right? So fast response and exceeding always the customer expectation. Those have been the foundation of 1-to-1 and has been the reason why we've been growing, right? So,
talking to you ahead of time here, something occurred to me on this topic and kind of how, it's easy to say, hey, when I was young, I walked uphill to school both ways and it was always snowing and things were different and you kids today behave this way. But really, it seems like there's a shift that happened at some point where just in the patience people have for certain things, where you go from, if you want to change the channel of the TV, you got to get up and go switch it. And then you have the kids sitting there with a remote and you're saying, oh, look at this lazy kid, doesn't even get up. And then I remember I went to school for photography, really relevant to what I do now, not at all. I went to school for photography and I remember just as I was graduating, seeing the students coming up behind me and digital was coming in. And the big thing that I noticed was the learning curve for them was so much faster because the feedback loop was gone. They were able to take pictures, immediately see what the result was, adjust, learn, adjust, learn, adjust, learn. And they got that immediate feedback. It seems like we've kind of applied that to everything now. Everything you want is always available. And then we just start expecting that. So people who grew up probably slightly, just after me maybe, are always expecting that immediate response. Everything, if you were to have film, if there was such a thing, but if you went to have photos printed now and you had to go to the place and come back the next day to get your photos, I don't know if anywhere works that way anymore. I don't know how many people even print photos anymore, but I imagine just everything is immediate. Everything's been designed for immediate. So when you grow up in that immediate environment, you expect it. And if the companies have older people that don't realize how important that is, then you're just kind of, you're out of sync when you're having these connections with a huge portion of the population that you're supposed to be doing business with.
Exactly. Yeah. And one thing that I truly believe on, and I have seen throughout my 25 plus years in experience, is that human beings are the drivers of what happens between in the corporate world, right? So it doesn't matter if you have a five person company or a 500 company person company. It's always the driver. And for me, there are two things that motivate human beings. One, it's innovation. And the other one, it's convenience. So tell me, and even the most, I have met people that are really, I want routine. I don't want to innovate. I want something. They think that they want routine, but they actually want to innovate because they buy clothes. They want to have, they always are looking for something new, right?
Yeah. And they don't think they want things to change except for the things that they do want to change for convenience.
Exactly. And then the next thing is convenience. So those are the two things that drive everyone that participates in the economy in the United States and all over the world, right? So that's why speed, it's in my industry, at 1-to-1, we always consider it to be crucial. to provide that kind of a service to our clients.
So we're talking about speed. Can you give some examples of how that actually applies? What does that mean to have speed in your communication or in your marketing and your interactions with with people?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you first a little bit about One-to-One. We are the day-to-day branding partner for Fortune 500 companies. That includes in all digital and print design executions. So everything that has to be connecting with the consumer of their products and services, we provide that day-to-day needs. So coming into the example you were asking and the day-to-day speed is that so our clients wake up every morning and they have a matrix of contact with their clients in about 20 different touch points, and they need to have some kind of communication with them, either visual or hearing, or you know, it has to be, can be digital or can be printed. For me, printed would be like a package design or a coupon magazine ad, or you know, promo flyer, sell sheet, etc. And a digital would be like a banner ad, landing pages, anything, a video, or everything that can be communicated through a computer. So, and we provide that need. So when they already have the whole matrix of communication with their clients, they need to execute and they need to put it in different outlets out there. And the adaptation and modifications of each of these digital and printed materials, that is what we do. So a typical requirement, it can be the, you know, the LISO brand manager can ask us for 40 different adaptations for their new programmatic campaign in Facebook. And we have to, given the target of different target customers, you know, a female, that it's a Gen X or a teenager, and they have different applications for their products. So we adapt the message and deliver it within 2 days, for example. Mm-hmm. So that would be a typical day-to-day need that they ask from us.
So does, I mean, you guys are an outside agency. And yeah. It seems like on one hand, you want to be about speed, but on the other hand, does it make it more difficult to execute things quickly when companies either have remote workers or they're using third parties to execute stuff? I mean, it seems like you might get in a situation where you have a handful of different third parties and you need to execute stuff really fast, but they're not in-house. I mean, I guess does technology make that possible to still be done really fast, or does it start creating a problem when you have more outsourced stuff?
No, for sure. The technology makes it easier for everybody. Not only it helps you with the speed, it also helps you lowering the costs, right? So we can be talking today of adapting 300 different banner ads that will be transformed in our office and studio in Mexico and delivered to our client's office in the UK the next day. So
with things like Slack and email and all these kind of communication networking stuff,
that crucial, yes.
Doesn't matter if somebody's in the same office or in a whole nother country, as long as, I guess that gets back to your original point of, as long as people are communicating and being quick in their communication, that's the only...
Exactly, that is the key, that is the role. I mean, if you tell me that we are depending on one thing, it's internet. If we don't have internet, then we're done, right?
Yeah.
So, but that is not going anywhere anytime soon. Yeah. So yeah, that is a crucial portion of it, right? So, and my role as a chief speed officer, because that is my actual descriptive, is to facilitate my team and make sure that they can provide the speed needed in order to perform and excel and exceed the customer expectations, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned a couple things for speed.
Yeah.
Speed in reporting, I think you started out with. Speed in communication, that's the one-to-one, the person-to-person speed that I guess makes kind of everything fast, but also things like speed in reporting. You have to have the systems in place in order to do something quickly. I would imagine this spills out into all kinds of other areas that are outside what your company does with the when people come to your website, they expect to be able to live chat right then with a live person. When they send you an email, they expect to get an email back quickly from a person. When they, you know, when they call, they want to, it seems like you can, for many companies, maybe we're still a little behind in that area. You can call somewhere and get somebody on the phone a lot easier than you used to be able to for a lot of businesses. It used to be large automated directory systems. They were trying to create these sloppy, you know, pass you all around forever, dial this, dial one for this, dial two, through these massive, you know, directory trees in order to get somewhere. Is that kind of part of the speed thing? Do people expect to be able to call in and talk to somebody versus dialing through a tree like that?
Yeah, well, that depends exactly on the industry. But yeah, generally speaking, yes. So you need to have a platform depending on the industry you're servicing. In my particular industry, that is not something that we have seen that customers want. You know, so the live chat is not, the live chat will be more like for a consumer oriented type of approach. Mm-hmm. Right? The executive, the 9-to-5 executive, the business to business, they're okay if you can email them fast. So maybe 12 hours or something right. Like that.
Whatever their mode of communication is.
Exactly. You need to have some kind of a fast communication channel with them to make sure that they know that you are talking to them and you matter. They matter to you, right? So, and it all comes down to nowadays, I don't know if it happens to you, Sky, or not, but it happens to me when I have LinkedIn and then I have Instagram and then I have Facebook. And when I talk to my team and when I talk to my clients, which are corporate people, sometimes they tell me in which social media you send me the ad that you wanted me to see. There are so many touch points now with the consumer or with your clients. Now, forget about the consumer because we're talking business to business here. It's such a, you need to identify which are your matrix, your contact matrix with your audience, and make sure that you're treating that matrix often and with some kind of a sense of urgency and speed, because if not, you're going to lose a potential client.
Yeah, right? When I have a vendor, when I send a vendor an email and I don't get a response back the same day, I just assume somehow they didn't get my email. Like there's no way they couldn't have got back to me yet, right? If they saw that I was asking a question, where's my answer? I need it now. And then I guess we have our account managers here in our CRM. They'll keep track of the preferred mode of communication for people so that they're not, you know, sending somebody a message on Slack that prefers to email. And that's how they always respond, is by email. Like you said, if you send them a message on one platform, but that's not the platform they typically work on, they want speed, but they want it on their platform, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. So identify which are the platforms your clients want to be contacted with and make sure that you touch every point of contact with them. And it can be through social media or face-to-face or via telephone, you know, in-person visits also work a lot, and you need to make sure that which one make your audience tick.
I guess speed's great in person because there's just, now you're face to face. There's one way to do it.
Exactly. It's just,
it takes away all the variables.
Yeah. Always putting a face to a name. It helps a lot with all the process in marketing, right? So, and when you're dealing business to business, face to face is crucial. You have to have it in your mix one way or another. It's just, I mean, Instagram is not going to cut it like that only.
Yeah. Email had its time. It's still valuable, but I think a lot of other modalities are coming back. Live events are coming back really strong. I mean, they've always had a certain strength. They're a foundational thing that doesn't go away. It always has value, but that person to person, it's interesting. We want immediate speed, but also person-to-person has become more and more important as we have all these other non-personal methods to reach out.
Yeah, exactly. It's so we at the company have a matrix that each of our business development directors have, and they need to always, they even have, you know, the kind of a medium or channel that you need to contact them, and how often you need to do it, and when it needs to happen, and it just follows a process because it's part of the selling process. And also, we have a marketing team, if you want to call it, for us to grow our business. And this marketing team is just nailing it in LinkedIn and Instagram and trying to make our presence relevant to our business to business customers that want us that we want to reach out to, right?
Yeah. Yep. Time is just flying by here. I want to stop for a quick break, and then we'll come right back, getting more into kind of the speed and maybe some specific techniques, some do's and don'ts, all that kind of fun stuff after the break. We're talking here with Francisco Serrano of One-to-One Corp, or One-to-One.
It's One-to-One.
Yeah. One-to-One. I gotta cross out that corp. Never mind. We'll edit that out in post. Yeah. of One-to-One. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Dyer, CEO of People G2, where we focus on background checks for employment screening, tenant screening, or any other people-related transaction you might be having. Our focus is really to try to make the world a slightly safer place by making sure you know who you're working with and whatever you're doing. So People G2, and you can go to peopleg2.com for more information.
Welcome back to the IFU Market Podcast. I'm your host, Sky Cassidy. We have Francisco Serrano in the studio. Yes, not really in the studio, online here with us today. He's the CEO of One-to-One. They're a marketing and advertising agency that focuses on speed. Would that be accurate to say, or am I just making this up?
No. It's not as precise as it would be, but it's branding. It's different than marketing and advertising, even though it's the same thing. But yeah, we specialize in branding.
In branding. Okay, excellent. And we're talking about marketing to the now generation and the speed that people have come to expect when you're working with them, whether it's marketing or dealing with clients specifically. But let's loop back around to the marketing. How does kind of speed, how does that come into play in marketing? I mean, there's the speed in your execution, right? But in the communication with people, is it about the speed of giving out relevant messaging, things like creating the meme on the today's latest stuff being time relevant, or is the speed about something else, or all the above?
Yeah, it's everything. It's everything, Scott. You need to make sure that you are relevant in your communication. Either it can be with the latest hurricane, you know, hitting the Florida Keys, or the shooting in the school, or the meme from the president. You need to make sure that you are relevant and understanding your audience and what type of content your messaging has to have, and deliver it fast. Because
much of that is about not putting your foot in your mouth? Because if you have something coming out and something hits the news and you don't adjust it quickly,
yeah, I mean, don't say it. It has to happen within hours. I mean, now with Twitter, you can actually, there are tools in social media that you can check what are the trend topics and that are happening. So right now, if you wanted to share topic of weather or news or whatever, you can go there and find out what's relevant or not. And also, you're not the consumer or the Kardashians and all that. You're more business to business. So, there are certain topics that hit the corporate world and that can apply to your messaging of the services or products that you're selling to your businesses. So you need to just be aware of which are they and how can you relate it to the trending topics that are currently.
Right. So speed's important, but it's not quite what you need in the consumer world. I know there's a rule about getting back to people within 5 minutes, and that's from the consumer world. And I've talked about it before. I don't like that. Everybody preaches that. I've seen B2B companies preach it. And I said, no. In B2B, it might be you have to get back within 24 hours or within 4 hours or something like that. But it's not 5 minutes. They're not making an impulse buy on their website.
Exactly.
So the times are a little bit longer, maybe it, for some things in B2B, they stretch out a little bit more. But do you have like, are there triggers where when a major incident happens, whether it's a natural disaster or any other type of disaster, or some politician putting out some sort of a gaffe, that you check all your clients' campaigns to make sure they don't, you know, that isn't going to cause problems for something they're about to put out? I mean, you don't want to have a shooting and then put out some social media post that seems really distasteful right after that.
Yeah, exactly. You need to make sure that, again, understanding your audience, making sure that you understand what makes them tick and what doesn't. And once you understand that clearly, and if something happens, I think a good rule of thumb can be within that day. So mm-hmm. that day has to go out the communication in if it's relevant or not. So if you want to tease at a political issue that happened, it has to happen within that day. I mean, because if you do it, hey, remember what last week, maybe last week, you know, the politician is no longer in office. You never know, right?
Yeah. So, and the they're no longer in the race, or there's five exactly. new ones added. Or I guess an extreme example would be coming out with a Harlem Shake video right now for your office. It's not very timely.
exactly. So you need to understand what it is. But I think the one day, even 2 days can be completely normal. And like you say, in consumer, it's an impulse buying, it does matter. But in the business to business, sometimes even if you respond too fast, the email will just drain and slip away. And you're like, why this guy hasn't replied to me? And I'm like, I did five minutes after you sent the email. What? I erased all my, after I got from lunch, I erased every email. And okay, one was yours. Well, thank you. You know, so it is important to consider your audience to make sure that they are complying with what they think is speedy, right?
So not just fast, but going to the turtle and the hare, you need fast and steady. You can't just quickly hit once. You have to keep the pressure. And I know I've seen marketing automation where I get an automated email and I don't respond to it. And then the next day, like, hey, I sent you an email. What happened? I'm like, you're a bot. I know you're sending me a garbage I'm not interested in. But then it's just like they're constantly on you. What happened? Right. How come you're not responding? Come on, man. Where are you at? I sent you an email. How are you ignoring me?
Exactly.
I guess that's a bad version of the constant attention.
For sure. And one thing that I have seen in business to business, the number one network by far, social network, it's LinkedIn, right? So sometimes you accept people and immediately within 10 minutes, hi, by the way, do you want to buy my services and blah, blah, blah to make you, you're like, are you kidding me? You're blocked, right? So it's kind of, you need to be smart on how you're communicating and how you're communicating.
Especially the bait and switch. When you're really fast with the, hey, I saw your profile and I thought we're in the same business. We should connect and talk sometime. And then you connect and they have some bot set up to immediately respond back with their pitch.
Exactly.
Like, oh man, I thought you were actually interested in.
Exactly. Connecting. You
know, in connecting. If you want to sell me, tell me, here's my product. I want to sell it. And if I'm interested in that product, I've had people send me stuff. And then I've taken it to my team and said, this is the kind of messaging you need when you're direct pitching.
Exactly.
Something where if they're looking for that, they're like, yes, I need that. Tell me more.
Yeah. And if you want to bot me, robot me, do it good. So I don't identify that it's a robot, right?
Yeah. Set more. Don't be fast. When you connect and you just intend to pitch.
Exactly.
Wait a week. Wait 2 weeks. Let me forget that you were pretending like you wanted to be buddy.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I tell my team. So even though we have the fast service to our current clients, when we're pitching prospects, we need to let them breathe, because if not, right. I mean, they're gonna submerge you.
So communicate fast, but bait and switch slow.
Exactly. Exactly. And have a wider width of prospects. If you're marketing to them, make sure that you're reaching out to more people, so you can have that matrix of communication in a way that it makes sense for them.
And I would say also, I mean, I'm laughing about it, but don't bait and switch. Have something you offer. You know, have the bait actually be bait, not just you seemed interesting and I wanted to talk, now buy my product. Like, actually have some sort of give, in the relationship, even if you wait a while and bait and switch, it's still just a bad practice. So I started to transition, I realized by accident a minute ago. I want to get back to that, to some do's and don'ts. So we're kind of covering some of those already. Can you throw out some more things to make sure you do for the speedy good communication and don't do for the speedy bait and switch example, bad communication?
Yeah, well, the do's, it's, you need to have a matrix of communication and make sure that you cover every touch point with the, with your client, right? And
can you explain that a little more, the matrix communication?
Yeah, yeah. You need to have all the channels you're going to communicate with your client. Let's say LinkedIn, so Facebook or email or Slack, whatever is that your media channels you're going to communicate with.
So when you say communication, are you talking about specific one-to-one conversation communication, like a back and forth email? Okay, not, you're not talking about advertising like ads on Facebook.
No. Right now we're talking about just the in business to business.
Right.
I think that that is the core in the communication to manage a prospect and take it through all your funnel and make sure that you convert. You need to make sure to cover all the touch points, right? Including face-to-face. So this means that every 2 weeks you're going to email them, and then every 4 weeks you're going to send them a Facebook or whatever is it that your strategy is. And within 5 months, you're going to go to an expo and look at him or her face-to-face and then visit them at their company site, whatever is it that your strategy is. Have a matrix and have a plan for each of your, if there are too many clients, make sure that you drive them per industry. And if there are not so many prospects, just make sure that you have them individual setting.
It's kind of multi-touch account based,
exactly.
Mid funnel marketing. Of course, still important to be fast in communication in the initial lead generation. So if they send an email or have a phone call in, you got to get back to them. But now you're talking about once they get into the funnel, make sure you're nurturing them with this kind of communication and pursuit.
Exactly. I guess you'd say. And be prepared to react with speed in case they bite in any step of the way, right? So it's like if the client complies and says, hey, you know what? After 4 months of you touching base, I want a quote. Whoa. Yeah. Make sure that that happens fast. Because
a week later, you say, let's get that quote out to him. It's too late.
Yeah, too late. He already, or she's, bye-bye. So that's one thing. Another thing is measure everything. I mean, nowadays, if you want to go in a keto diet or whatever, you measure your calorie counting, your vitamins, your blah, blah, blah. The same thing needs to happen with your effort, marketing efforts, whether it's advertising or direct to prospect in your funnel. You need to make sure that you are measuring. For me, a big one is activity. I tell my team, no matter what you choose, choose an activity. If you think that cold calling is not working for you, choose another one. But tell me how many times you're going to do it and make sure that we're measuring that activity. I mean, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, does not have those biceps because he does not repeat an activity.
I don't know. He does a curl whenever he feels like it every once in a while. Maybe, maybe not.
So it's kind of the same thing in the corporate world. If you want to reach out to your prospects or your current clients, you need to make sure that you are measuring activity and set up a challenge and always have either measure the activity. It can be interactions that you have with them. It can be calls. It can be emails. It can be visits. It can be conversion rates, everything that you feel that it's and make sure that those are well set up in your KPIs and then start measuring them all the time.
I'm just picturing The Rock's body as a marketing funnel now, a sales and marketing funnel. It's just jacked. if you want that jacked funnel, you have to be, have regular processes that you're pursuing.
That so you have to follow up.
You may have an SDR and they're going to, no longer cold call as much. They feel like it's ineffective for what they're doing. You say, that's great, but you can't just go over to LinkedIn and spend time. You need to have specific activities. You were doing 100 cold calls a day. Now you need to be doing, 50 more targeted research outreaches or something like that.
Or generate more leads or generate X comments, or send direct messages.
Right.
To you know,
but then we, measuring, you made this many calls before, this many people you talked to, this many leads. Now you're on LinkedIn, you're going to be active there. You know, how many posts did you make? How many people did you reach out to? How many interactions did you have?
Exactly.
How many leads did you get?
Yeah. And you need to react fast in case any of your canes with the bait, they mm-hmm. come up, and you need to react and make sure that you comply with it.
Right. So putting a bunch of messages out and then not harvesting them basically is obviously a marketing mistake there.
yeah, for sure.
Even if you walk away from the cold calling, still answer the phone when it rings. Somebody might call you back.
Yeah, and for that is the next one that you need to do also. For me, it's be nimble and fast. So try to, you know, sometimes our marketing organizations are kind of dense, and the decision making process, it takes time. Let me check with my supervisor if it's a big company, or let me check with the owner if it's a small company. So try to make sure that you have a nimble structure and with a lot of flexibility to so that each marketing professional can execute and move at a speed that it needs to happen if a given bait comes. Right.
So it sounds like you want to have some autonomy for your people. I mean, you can't have the lowest level person saying, I want to stop, again, back to the cold call. I want to stop cold calling for leads and spend some time on social today and have it take a week for that to go up the chain and have the highest up person approve it. Like, you have to trust your, you know, as low down the chain as you can to say, yes, they know what they're doing and they're going to pursue this.
Yeah. And remember that when we're talking about digital, and we're talking about, nobody knows digital. We are rediscovering digital every day. So a philosophy has to be always test and grow. So in order to test and grow, you need to have that flexibility and that speed to change. 1 week might work the advertising in Facebook of your can open, and the other week maybe just you running without showing the product. It depends.
Right. Well, they changed the algorithms. I think digital and marketing are a weird thing, because basically digital's come up and it allows the audience to adjust and the medium we're communicating on to adjust faster to marketers overusing what works. So we tend to go in and say, oh, this works, and now every marketer is going to hammer the crap out of it. So it works today, but like you said, you have to adjust because tomorrow that's not going to work. And in the past, maybe it took longer for something to stop working, because you didn't have this immediate feedback. But now with digital, you can burn out something that's successful. You know, you can have, if you respond to the meme now, it's good. If you respond to it, if you put something up with it tomorrow or next week, it's, you know, that fishing hole is over. You're not going to get anything out of that one. Like digital, it's constantly changing. And the more marketers push, the quicker it changes. It just seems like it's extremely reactive to marketers. So if you're not on your game, like you said, measuring, being nimble and constantly changing, you're going to constantly fall behind the digital marketing.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Can you, speaking of falling behind, one of the things that helps people keep up with stuff when it comes to something like digital marketing are the technologies on it.
Yeah.
Can you give us some example of some examples of MarTechs that people might use to have speed in their communication, speed, you know, internally in their company with their prospects and clients, all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah. So, well, software as a service has become the guardian angel for many corporations, right? Going from Slack. I mean, Facebook has now they're launching this Facebook business interaction type of thing that it more or less works like the groups, Facebook groups, but it's something internal that you use and to communicate. Google has a Google Hangouts, right? So that's another big one that integrates beautifully with video conferencing and also email. And so the whole suite, it's just perfect. Slack, as I mentioned, it's a tool that it's getting more and more power throughout communication through our organizations, and also that works a lot. And that's just to interact internally to make sure. per industry, you have, I mean, Basecamp, you have eSilent Partner, you have Odoo, you have a lot of ERPs and CRMs out there that you have to use.
I've seen people creating Slack channels for their customers even, where they use it and they have different groups internally, but then they have a customer Slack channel where it's like a just a customer message board or something almost, I guess, and there's employees on there communicating. It's an ongoing live chat. Almost.
Exactly. And you have to make sure that that is a tool that your customers or your clients are using. Because
I suppose if you create that and you don't monitor it and have somebody on there, it could turn against you pretty quickly too.
For sure. Yeah. Even they can sue you if you're not having the right engagement and conversations with the audience you want to. Right?
It could also just end up being a bunch of upset clients and prospects talking bad about your company on your own channel to each other.
Exactly. So again, it's all about the research, understanding what makes your clients tick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any particularly juicy success or failure stories when it comes to communication speed?
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing different than when you're launching a campaign and like in marketing to consumer, it happens the same thing with business to business. So let's say a typical activity in the corporate world in the US is, in the business to business world, is attend a conference. And then in the conference, you will see a lot of leads, probably exhibiting, others just visiting and going to their, you know, sessions or attending the booths, et cetera. Right. So what we once did it, and it created a lot of success. And it was this branding conference. We were participating as sponsors there. So we gave out these t-shirts that were written speed, right? And they were black, and they were, I tend to believe that they were fashionable even. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, now money or whatever, there was seemed to be very illusional, you know, messaging. So it was speed. And then we gave out some promo materials, and we had the emails for the audience that was attending. So we in the social media channels, you're allowed to upload those certain emails, and then you can target them.
And they'll match a percentage of them to their audience. Just by email, and then you can add target them
exactly. And also you know, geo placing them. Mm-hmm. If it was in Las Vegas, you just make sure that you're when they are, you know, running their Instagram or their Facebook, you were finding out, and you click and you go to a landing page for that specific conference, and it was a special, you know, gift or I was a Starbucks coffee or whatever, just to fill out a form or whatever. And then after that, there was a direct mail of sending out some neat collectible t-shirts that were like related to speed, you know, like Superman, the fastest, or, you know, everything, the car. And it was a cool illustration of a car with fire and speed, and it was the Wild Wild West, the fastest hand. And there were cool t-shirts that we sent out to each of the prospects that they were aiming at. And it turned out to be a very successful integrated campaign that generated some leads that we are currently nurturing and have closed with several of them. And just because of, so the message here is to treat a direct-to-consumer campaign the same as a direct-to business, right? So make sure that different touch points and of the consumer in advertising, emails, and everything, it's integrated and well thrown out, that has a budget, and it's measuring it, and eventually you will have a success if you do it correctly, right? With the right investment.
Yeah, so I mean, it seems like you're talking about a multi-touch campaign, and I've seen this go wrong before when you're trying to perfect all the touches. You're trying to get everything just right. I think the quote is, "But the perfect is the enemy of good," or something like that. And so you never quite get it launched. You never get it, or you're doing it as you go along. It's not all pre-set up. So, you know, rather than just getting it done and getting something out, shipping it, you want to get it just right. So you have your multi-touch and you have one part, but then you go in and you're trying to get the next part just right. So it takes longer before it gets to them. And then the next part just right and just right. And one of the things I jotted down from our conversation earlier was that speed over perfection.
Yeah.
It was something that you said that caught my ear. It seems that the idea is people are much less forgiving if you're slow these days, but much more forgiving if you don't get it right. We see it in our news even. Big problem. Everybody wants to get it now. It doesn't matter if it's right. Just give it to me.
Exactly. That is the philosophy behind that word, is that you have a better chances of having successful messaging or launch of a product or a service or a campaign if you launch it faster than if you wait until all the touch points are perfect and the measuring and everything. So you just launch it and then evaluate, regroup, and relaunch. Evaluate,
right. Move on, go again. Go. You get it wrong sometimes, you get it right sometimes.
That's why test and grow, it makes the whole thing just move around faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Awesome. I feel like, boy, time flies so fast. We are just about out of time. Is there anything else you want to get to before we wrap things up here? Any more messaging on this particular subject?
Well, just from my experience, to share that when you deal with you have a whole range of different clients, right? From small companies all the way to large corporations. And my experience has been that when you're dealing with small companies, the budget and the owners tend to be a little bit more dialed up and careful about those issues. So you need to have some kind of a marketing strategy that begins with budget-friendly solutions. And when you have a bigger company approach, you just need to make sure that, of course, price has to be there, but the quality, and quality for us means speed. So if you deliver fast with the quality of somebody else delivering slow, then you're one step ahead, and that's the key differentiator. So understand that which makes your company stick, and in the end, our philosophy at 1-to-1 is making people shine. That is the number one motto that we come every day to work. And if it's the owner making them shy, it's lowering their budgets. And if it's the branding manager making them shine, it's having the deliverables so they can go and have a dinner with their wives. And we will work and make sure that they have what they need in time. So it's just, we're in the service industry, and customer service is the base of our foundation, and our philosophy is making people shine. That's the other thing that I want to share with you guys.
So getting it done in a week or so doesn't quite cut it with most people. They need it done, and they need it done now, kind of.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, speed equals quality. I think that equation's a little bit off based on what you've been saying. It seems like it's more like speed equals quality times 10 or something like that. The speed has a much greater value. You'd have to it's a multiplier for it there.
Yeah.
All right. This has been fantastic. If people want to find you, 121corp.com is
correct.
The domain.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That is their domain. Yes.
And then people can find you on LinkedIn. Of course, we'll have all the notes from this on the show notes for the episode at ifyoumarket.com. And on behalf of the If You Market team, and Francisco Serrano of 121. Thank you for listening to the If You Market podcast, where we believe if you market the shit out of it with speed, they will come.
The If You Market podcast is brought to you by Mountaintop Data. And at Mountaintop Data, we're all about data for B2B marketing. Our goal is to improve the quality, depth, and coverage of our clients' targeted marketing data while removing the technical pain of accessing and implementing data. We help with everything from new target contacts to appending and cleaning existing data, all with the goal to free you and your team up to focus on creating great marketing experiences. Check us out online at mountaintopdata.com and sign up for our new Top Data Search tool and get free access to search our database of over 30 million business contacts. Use the code #IYM when signing up
and get 200 free credits.